This is Swipe Some Magazine, a journey for the ambitious business leader. Each week, groundbreaking conversations happening around the world. Those talks, those ideas, designed for you.
Hello all and welcome to Swipe Some Magazine, conversations for the ambitious business leader. Today we're going to be listening to a quick chat I had with Chris Shimbra, who is the founder and chief question asker at the 747 Club. Chris is a keynote speaker, a Broadway producer, a sought-after dinner host, and an entrepreneurial advisor. Chris's passion really lies in facilitating profound human connections in what he calls a deeply disconnected world. I actually got to meet Chris last year in San Francisco at a dinner that he hosted for the 747 Club. We laughed, some people cried, and there was definitely a lot of wine and great true relationships that were built that night. So with further ado, here is the conversation between me and Chris. Chris, welcome.
Dude, thanks for having me, buddy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Most definitely. Chris, could you give us a little background on the 747 Club and kind of what you guys are putting together over there?
Of course. So the story I'll start with begins in July of 2015. Before this current endeavor, I devoted my career to producing Broadway plays and social campaigns. Until that July of 2015, I had just come back from Italy after producing a Broadway play over there. And when I got back to New York City, realized I was lonely, disconnected, unfulfilled, and theater was doing nothing for me. I started fiddling with food in my kitchen and accidentally created a pasta sauce recipe, so I figured I should probably feed it to people to see if it's even good or not, and started hosting dinner parties. So every week, once a week, 15 of my friends would come over for dinner, and we'd eat some pasta sauce. Because I was lazy at the time, and still a pretty lazy guy right now, I would delegate tasks and everybody would engage in shared activities and everybody would have a hand in their pot to help really create the meal. And after doing a number of dinners, what we realized was those delegation of tasks, that simple pasta sauce, because we had created those opportunities led to connection. So at our dinners, by the time, you know, the dinner would be served and then dessert would come around and then we'd open up for communal discussion on particular topics, people would really feel safe enough to open up and get vulnerable and connect. And what we soon realized is that these dinners were having transformational effects on the people that we were serving just for free in our home at the time. And we realized that if less than three people cried, we considered a failed night. So the 747 got started that way. The name comes from the actual timing of the dinner. So 6:30 p.m. cocktails would begin, 8 p.m. dinner was served. But at 7:47, we delegate those 11 specific tasks, empowering the attendees to work together to create the meal. So all these dinners started off for free in our home. And somewhere along the way, I woke up and realized that the dinners had not only saved my life, but had touched on a few pain points that others had. And one day someone offered us money to come do our dinners for their company. We said yes, and a business began. So now fast nice. Forward a little over 2 years, our company has grown into producing dinners, producing events, doing keynotes and workshops, and advisory within companies to help them build more human relationships. It's become a full kind of a full portfolio of services.
I love it. Chris, I got to go to one of the 747 Club dinners in San Francisco, and one of the most impactful dinners I've ever had. I definitely wasn't expecting that coming in. There was maybe 50 people in this house. I think everyone had to bring a bottle of wine. People definitely cried, but I think more people cried from laughing at that dinner. Could you touch a little bit on the crowd? Because I think that's a really interesting point, especially for our listeners. We have a lot of ambitious business leaders, CEOs, entrepreneurs, and that's really what you're able to gather with the 747 Club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. Here's an interesting answer. Is when you create something, there's a line in one of my plays, and it's a play about Fiorello LaGuardia, the former mayor of New York City in the 1930s and 40s, and he's holding up a picture of his two kids, Eric and Jean. He looks down at his photograph and says, "Kids, don't worry about people knowing you. Make yourself worth knowing." And why I say that in this context is, you know, our intention was never to be a good curator of people. Our intention was to create a model, a dinner model, in which regardless of who's in the room, the model works. The model creates the safety. The model creates that authenticity, that empathy, that maternal energy, that trust. And so if people are listening to this and they're too paralyzed by who should be in the room, I challenge that and say, focus on creating something that attracts the people, and it doesn't matter who's there because the model will do the hard work. Yes. With that being said, we've had success gathering rooms full of strangers. We've had success gathering rooms full of people that have known each other for three generations. You know, it can all work when you set the right intention. And the underlying intention I think you're getting at is no assholes allowed. Try to attract people who believe in the relationship, not the transaction. Try to attract people who believe in what you believe in. You know, Simon Sinek does that wonderful TED Talk, which is the third most watched TED Talk of all time, called How Great Leaders Inspire Action. He bases that off the golden circle, you know, the start with why. And in his arguments, he advocates that people don't buy what you do, people buy why you do it. And so when you can surround yourself at, whether it's a dinner, whether it's an event, whether it's in one-on-one connecting with people who believe in what you believe in, they'll become foot soldiers in your movement, and they'll become advocates, loyal, trustworthy advocates of your business, raving fans.
I love it. That's a good point there about focusing on the relationship and not the transaction. And that's kind of what I'd like to dig in on a little more. So I think that the 747 Club and a lot of what you preach is having these joyful interactions that yield a deeper connection that can, in what we focus on is, you know, profitability and business. But how would you say that those, you know, joyful interactions and kind of letting yourself be vulnerable has led to profitability or opening yourself up to that?
Yeah, I think that is an amazing topic. You know, what I heard you just talk about is joy and fulfillment, and I want to define those words for a sec. You know, so many people, I've found their mission in life is to be happy. But I call bullshit on that, because happiness is temporary. See, happiness comes from what we do. Fulfillment comes from why we do it. Happiness, for instance, is hitting a goal, getting a promotion, landing a new client, completing a project. Those are all temporary things. Fulfillment is longer lasting. Fulfillment is, you know, the love of your child. You may not like your child every day, but you love him or her or they every day, gender neutral. Fulfillment, you see, people don't necessarily have to find happiness in their job. I think that's bullshit. But you can be fulfilled if it makes you feel like you're part of something bigger. And that's what we advocate for. That belonging, to something greater than ourselves, I think is the purpose of a company. You know,
yeah.
Companies that inspire and command trust and loyalty are the ones that are really doing that, are really inspiring us to be part of a greater whole. We could put numbers around this all. We could put numbers around inspiration and fulfillment. You know, studies show that an inspired employee, one that believes in the mission of the company, one that believes in the mission of the team, one that connects on an emotional level with their coworkers, their clients, their customers, inspired employees are 225% more highly engaged. Highly engaged employees are 21% more productive, which leads to an increase on average of 20% in sales.
Wow.
So when you're living an inspired life as an employee, and you're following and connecting with the vision of the company, and you're communicating that vision of the company to your clients, and you become almost like a family member or a friend to that client, an extension of their team, you're going to stick around.
Yeah.
Right? The numbers, you know, the numbers on retention, are showing that, you know, 51% of the U.S. workforce is not engaged. That's the crisis. We have to create that level of fulfillment and inspiration to engage our employees again, because it's costing the American economy $550 billion a year. That's what we have to work on.
Yep. So we actually, we focus a lot in our hiring at SwipeSum on culture. And it's a lot of, I've done a lot of research and I've spoke to a lot of people, and it's one of the most important things to me. And it's kind of why I chose St. Louis as well to start our company. And how I would like to build our company is like the U.S. Olympic team coming into the opening ceremony. It's not necessarily a likability test where everyone has to be best friends, but I think belonging to something greater and building a team where everyone has a great skill set in a specific event or item, and putting those people together to kind of go with, living an inspired life or being part of an inspired team is something that not only builds the company up, but, you know, keeps people happy. You talk a lot about emotional intelligence, and also there's one thing I think that you could maybe tag into this with the loneliness epidemic we have. But as far as building culture, in your team and in hiring practices from the 747 Club, you know, what kind of advice could you give on that?
I'd say that it's important to address that when you're hiring a candidate, not only is it important to, so I'm gonna say this, and then I want to get to empathy as the real answer to this.
Okay.
But not only is it important to hire the right candidate for organizational cultural fit, but also remember that an organization is like a big tree. You have the big trunk, you have a few different branches, and on each branch are nests. So those branches represent teams or different divisions, and those nests represent different teams. So once you have that candidate within the organization, you have to place them in the perfect nest, on the perfect branch that directly correlates to their why, that directly correlates to their purpose, their passion, their mission, their vision. Because you're allowed to have a different, you're allowed to have, you know, you have a your organization's mission and vision, and then you can have micro versions of that on these different branches and on these different nests. And that's extremely, you know, that's extremely important. I mean, you know, the truth is a lot of people, a lot of employees are actively seeking new roles. Employee retention is at, you know, all-time lows, especially with the millennial generation. So the second thing I'd answer to that is to utilize empathy. And, you know, empathy, is defined as the art of imaginatively stepping into the shoes of another person, understanding their feelings and perspectives, and using that knowledge to guide your action. Empathy has the power to heal broken relationships. Empathy has the power to inspire and motivate entire teams into action. It is the core differentiator. One in three employees say they would take equal pay and position at another company if their employer was more empathetic.
Wow. Wow.
Right? 92% of employees say showing empathy is an important way to advance retention, while only 49% of employees would even describe their organization as empathetic. And empathy is a subset, as you said, of emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is the only thing we have that's actually directly correlated to earning potential. Not IQ, not intellectual capability, not technical skills. Emotional intelligence, EQ. See, 80% of top performers have high emotional intelligence, whereas only 20% of bottom performers have high emotional intelligence. And so when you can start to look at emotional intelligence as the differentiating factor, not only in productivity, not only in hiring, but in competition, see, that's the way the world's going. My friend Dan Schwabel has a wonderful quote. It says, if you do your job like a robot, you can get replaced by a robot.
Yep.
So in hypermarket competition, in human-machine partnerships, the only way to gain a competitive advantage in the future is to work on your own emotional intelligence and your human relationship-building abilities. And for those of us who can help in that, you know, in that human kind of relationship world, the biggest thing that's struggling in terms of engagement is that people are flat out lonely.
Yeah.
Right? We have a loneliness epidemic in this country, whether that's, you know, driven by social media or weak distant social connections or remote workplaces, flexible work schedules, whatever it is, it's creating a loneliness epidemic. 46% of the American workforce reports being lonely on a consistent basis. Over 50% of CEOs report being lonely. And that effect, being lonely, is equal to the reduction of lifespan of smoking 15 cigarettes per day.
Ooh.
So when you can take the leadership in addressing that problem, whether that's creating better relationships with your clients, with your partners, with your teams, you can actually help solve that epidemic and help people live longer.
Yeah.
I mean, how crazy is that? Is it not only are we in business to serve our clients, to help them sell better, to help them be more productive, to help them save money, but to actually live longer? I mean, that's an impact. That's a why.
Most definitely. Well, Chris, thank you so much for sharing those quick insights and background on 747 Club. Could you give the listeners a little background on how they might find you after listening to this podcast?
Just go to 747club.org. Our general email address is at the bottom of that page. Please email in. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to learn what kind of challenges you're facing with your relationships in the workplace, whether it's distant teams, better relationships with your partners, getting to know your customers better, on down the line. Love to learn how we can help.
I love it, Chris. Thank you so much. As always, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Swipe Some Magazine, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for joining us at Swipe Some Magazine. Visit swipesome.com for links on everything you heard today, as well as resources for the ambitious business leader.